This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.
Welcome everyone to the launch of The Complaint is the Crime, an analysis of the Prince George Safe Streets bylaw by Dr. Joseph Herber from the University of Toronto Scarborough. I'm your host.
On March 12, 2026, at the House of Ancestors, or Ada Dene Bio, a review of the City of Prince George's Safe Streets bylaw number 9209, enacted in 2021, was presented by Dr. Joe Herber, a professor of sociology at the University of Toronto Scarborough. The bylaw has attracted criticism over the years for a number of reasons, despite initially being described with some optimism by former Mayor Lynn Hall as an educational tool, and this is not the first report released that criticizes it. While the report named The Complaint is the Crime, an analysis of the Prince George Safe Streets bylaw, January 1st, 2022 to September 1st, 2025, is publicly available on homelesshub.ca. The executive summary notes that some progress has been made since the bylaw's enactment and includes criticisms leveled at the way the bylaw is enforced, driven by a customer service model where complaints are not vetted or triaged, resulting in people being coercively displaced from public spaces. It makes mention of a dubious enactment of the open drug use section of the bylaw. It notes a lack of clarity surrounding definitions of and appropriate responses for squatter fires, and emphasizes the need for connection between bylaw enforcement and social services, frontline or outreach services and agencies. Focusing on only a few of these points, we were able to talk to Dr. Joe Herber following his presentation and panel discussion. We take you now to that conversation at the House of Ancestors, or Ada Dene Bio.
In August 30th, 2021, the City of Prince George adopted the Safe Streets bylaw with the stated intent to help make the streets, sidewalks, and alleys of Prince George safer for all residents. Now, further down the road in 2022, BCAFN released a report, Experiences with Bylaw in Prince George. Why do you feel your report presented today is necessary in addition to that one, which was fairly comprehensive?
Well, it's just 3.5 years later. I think the first reports were really part of when the bylaw was first enacted and essentially enforced for the first time. I think there was a climate where there was a lot of expectations around what the bylaw could mean. So it seemed to be reasonable to take a look at it a second time and also to collect just simply much more data over a longer period of time.
So this bylaw has received a fair amount of criticism. You have seen some things improve over your time researching from when the bylaw was first implemented to now, but it does appear based on your report that there's still a long way to go. Do you mind mentioning a few things that have improved since you started looking at this topic?
Yeah, I think the initial reports, the treatment of unhoused people's belongings and shelters was really atrocious. They were practically disposed of on site, and the city has changed that. I think there was a sense that that wasn't really legal. There were worries that it wasn't a lawful thing to do. So they actually amended the Safe Streets bylaw, put in a seizure of chattels or belongings section, and put in a process where it could be stored and retrieved by other people. So that's a positive step, I think. And that was certainly an aspect of the first two reports that was most criticized.
One aspect that was mentioned in the presentation was that there is either a lack of or perhaps an ineffective method of communication between bylaw services and various nonprofits, community groups, etc., that do service the unhoused population of Prince George. Have you seen any improvement in that regard, or I don't know, any specific criticisms or recommendations on how that could be improved? Any strategies you've seen anywhere else that have worked?
Well, I think there's an issue there that that since bylaw is dealing with vulnerable people, that there's a responsibility that they have good relationships with outreach workers, good relationships with frontline staff. So if they're dealing with vulnerable people, dealing with people in distress, that they have resources to help them. It's not acceptable just to deal with someone in great medical distress and just because they're maybe complained about, for example. I think it's a very tricky thing to do. I think there has to be a lot more collaboration between the city and frontline service staff. Cities try different models with this. My view is that bylaw officers should do bylaw officer work, but there should be a robust social welfare and harm reduction response that should back that up. So the bylaw officers need those individuals. They should be able to call upon them. I don't think the model of outreach workers working with bylaw officers is particularly a good one. It for a number of reasons, it just doesn't work. The best solution from a social policy point of view to this problem are, in fact, a peer outreach model where people can build trust over time, particularly for some of the individuals who've been on the street for a long time and don't trust anyone. That's really the best model, but that takes time and resources. And in some cases, unfortunately, just simple bylaw enforcement is a quick fix.
One of your clear recommendations in your report was to place a moratorium around the enforcement of the drug enforcement section of the bylaw. Is that correct? Do you care to comment on that?
Well, they have a specific section, open drug use, and I think there's a question of if it was enacted properly in the first place. I think the other question is just not being enforced lawfully. It's too arbitrary. The bylaw officers are interpreted way too vaguely, and given the public health risk, the courts have been very clear that those sort of bylaws that tend to push people into isolation, push drug use into isolation, it causes irreparable harm. That's the phrase used in the courts, and that is a public health issue, so I think the city should take a close look. They should consult with the regional health authority or the local medical officer immediately on their use of that section.
The recommendation to consult with the regional health authority or the health officer in that section, why is that so critical and important, do you feel?
Well, we're in the middle of a health emergency. It's almost a decade on. 14,000 people have died from overdoses because mostly of poison drug supply. Using alone is a prime driver of some of those deaths that occur outside. So it's simply a matter of saving lives and decreasing the environment and the opportunities where overdoses not just occur, but can be responded to. If you're using alone, you do not have a peer to administer naloxone. You are not near people where people can see you and they can call an ambulance or call someone with naloxone. Public visibility is a two-edged sword for housing people. Sometimes it causes them problems and discrimination and violence, but it also allows them visibility and aid when they need it. And specifically on drug use, visibility is a good thing in relationship to overdose prevention.
We're moving from winter into spring now. Winter in Prince George is an incredibly difficult season for people experiencing homelessness and for our unhoused population. Does the transition into spring from summer present any opportunities, perhaps to implement some of your recommended changes, or how do you see this transition into spring-summer being something that could be taken advantage of by the city?
Prince George has such severe weather, and it also has, including in the summertime, it could be incredibly a lot, and you can have very, very significant pollution levels. So I think all the enforcement all year round should take into account those factors. One thing I didn't get into today is, and I will in the future, is laying over environmental pollution and weather hazard data over these results. Air pollution can be a significant health hazard to people who have chronic health problems, for example. And we know that unhoused people have a very disproportionately high, even those just specific problems, among many others type of specific problems. So I think it's a year-round sort of thing. I think, and the climactic challenges are year-round in terms of a severe environment. For a number of reasons, extreme heat in the summertime with pollution is just as dangerous as when it's minus 30.
Following our talk with Dr. Joe Hermer, a number of outreach workers, social service, healthcare, and city employees were spotted in the crowd. Among them were also elected officials, including City Councilor Trudy Klassen, who we asked for comment.
As a city councilor, what are your takeaways? What are your thoughts so far on what you've seen here today?
I think there's a lot of people with some really great ideas on how to actually improve the situation. And improving the situation will not happen unless we collaborate together with everyone concerned. That's my big takeaway.
As your experience as a city councillor for a number of years now, what is required from residents of Prince George to move an agenda forward, to see a difference, if they so desire? What do you need to hear from residents if they want to see change in a particular way?
We need residents to demand change. Residents are on board. Residents know that what we're doing isn't working. That would be my impression, like by and large. But I think what's lacking is the political will to do the hard work to engage with residents and all the people concerned to improve the situation.
And does it help when they provide specific solutions, specific things that they want to see?
Absolutely, it does help. And I think the greatest thing that probably the city hasn't been super great at is that collaboration and working together with other agencies. And that has to come from a direction of council. And there has to be council will, and which I'm hoping that the residents will provide an ample measure and say to politicians, hey, this, we need to actually find some solutions. I'm under no illusions that you're ever going to solve the problem completely, but like I was saying to Dawn Hemingway, I'd be happy with 85%, and she said I'd be overjoyed with 85% success rate in helping people who find themselves unhoused into better situations.
What kind of success rate are we looking at right now?
Ooh, well, I mean, we've got, the homeless count was 200, like a little bit over 200. That's increased from a few years ago, so it means the situation is not really improving. I think there's a difference between having housing available and people being able to utilize housing, and we know that, I mean, that's multifaceted. The shortage of detox and rehab. So my guess on the percentage of success rate, I mean, I don't know. I don't have the data, and that's part of the problem. We don't have the data. So I would say if we could start having a better system of collecting data, which there is some data, and I was just hearing some words that maybe in the future there will be more coordination of access to that data between our social services and health services, which would be a massive improvement.
Reminds me, in Medicine Hat, that was the thing that really...
made a difference there.
Yeah.
But one thing that I want to say about Medicine Hat, because we all know they had a lot of success initially, but because we don't do it everywhere, the effectiveness is lost. Because what happened for Medicine Hat, then suddenly everyone came to Medicine Hat. Well, they can't afford that. And it's not good, actually, because if you have people further displacing themselves in order to find services, well, that means they're even further away from family and from their supports. And so that's not good. I mean, there's been talk, and I think there's actually a national strategy for homelessness. I haven't seen it be effective. So I guess what I'm saying is that we need to have some more effective solutions actually done.
A solution localized to Prince George, BC, would be... beneficial.
Yes, local to Prince George, absolutely, and as part of a national thing, right? And so it's that. So that's a bit complex, but I think it's time that we put our brains to it, and instead of just letting systems be the way they are.
We also had the opportunity to ask City of Prince George Mayor Simon Yu about public engagement following this presentation.
As Prince George residents, you know, become more informed about this topic, perhaps they read the report and they have some ideas of their own as far as solutions, things like that, what kinds of input or engagement do you need to see from Prince George residents in order to consider their input?
There's no bad ideas. You know, if everybody, you know, they look in the situation perhaps from different angle, different point of view, and we appreciate their participation to fire the email to the city hall, and especially after they learned, you know, that how this bylaw has been working or not working in from their point of view. And so therefore, by knowing it, so when they, you know, do file a complaint, they will understand the process, they understand, you know, whether this complaint is will take into some kind of result. And so we need to, you know, get some of the data out to them as well. So hopefully in the weeks ahead, our communication team from the city will broadcast some of the findings. And I'm sure this report will be available on the website. And I encourage people to read them, as well as draw their own conclusion, as well as most importantly, communicate to the city. Because we live in a democracy, you know, everybody's opinions is valued.
Thanks for
bringing the final word in this report. We posited that same question to Dr. Joe Hermer.
As far as citizens of Prince George getting involved in this and wanting to make a difference, what should they be actually asking the city for in terms of intervention if they are to look at your data set and agree with it and want to put forward some of the recommendations that you have?
Well, I think they should, you know, I think there should be an agreement that we all want to solve the same problem. It's how that we're going to do it. I think there's a question about the bylaw approach to Prince George. What problem is it solving? And I think there needs to be an honest conversation about it, that in many ways it's solving a problem only in very specific ways, but the big picture is still there. So I think, like I said at the end, you know, the city has to start being, you know, honest or more frank. This is enforcement. It has impacts. It is a real law. It has to be followed lawfully. Let's not get into vague sort of discussions around being education. Let's take it for what it is. That's law enforcement, and it has impacts. And let's start the conversation there instead of pretending it's something else to obscure, intentionally or not, real critical discussion.
Dr. Joe Hermer's report, The Complaint is the Crime, an analysis of the Prince George Safe Streets bylaw, is publicly available and can be found on homelesshub.ca. This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.